Oh, it might be me now. It might be. It's very funny when you hear noise, which is movement, and you haven't got your order of service in front of you because you've got to print it off, and you're not quite sure whether the band are standing up to sing again, and I would look very foolish to stand up and go, ta-da, or whether they're standing up to leave the platform. But it's great to have cues. I want to tell you a story. There are always loads of stories I could tell you about my life, but I want to tell you a particular story today, and it goes back a number of years ago. I decided that it was time to move on from the organisation that I started my career in terms of my past life in human resources. And as I looked around for a job, I got that really fortunate position of having two jobs to choose from. One was within a retail company, and one was within a manufacturing company. The retail company was going to offer me a job with a bit more money than I'd been earning, and they were going to offer me a nicer company car than the one that I had already got from the job that I was leaving. It was an attractive job. And then the manufacturing company made me a slightly different offer. They offered me more money than the retail company, but there wasn't a car with that job, but a bonus. And the bonus was based on whether I was successful in encouraging people to join the company pension scheme. Now, I don't want to comment on company pension schemes. That was what was going on back in the day. And I got really cold feet about the idea of a bonus being related to inviting people to join a company pension scheme, not because I had any issue with company pension schemes, but I'd got no experience of them, and therefore I didn't know if I could do the job. And everything inside of me said, you should take that job. But I chose the retail job because that was the safer option. And it was the most disastrous mistake. Not only did the amount of driving I had to do wear me out beyond description, the never good enough culture that the managing director prided himself on really nearly finished me off. And after 18 months, I was done. Thankfully, I moved on to another company where I was extremely happy. It's a bit of a long story. When I was at this company where I was really happy, one of the things that I had to do was to go along to some sort of manufacturer's network. I was in a manufacturing company at the time. And a few days before one of our meetings, I'd noticed that the job that I'd applied for and didn't take was being re-advertised. And I just noted it. Interesting. And I knew that the guy that took the job that I didn't take was often at this manufacturing network meeting. But apart from saying hello to him, we had never spoken, and I knew absolutely nothing about him. At the end of the meeting, we said our goodbyes as a group of people. And somebody asked him to say what he was going off to do. And this guy said, I am going off to vicar training school. And it was as though I had been hit by a thunderbolt. I could not speak. I didn't know what to think. I felt so ashamed and convicted because I realized God wanted a Christian in that job. He had given me first opportunity to do that. And I, for the sake of doing something safe, had run away in the opposite direction. Rather than take what seemed risky, I went in the opposite direction to what I now believe God wanted me to do. And this morning, as we start a new teaching series in Jonah, we're going to explore the story of a man who ran in the opposite direction to what God wanted him to do. And so I'm going to read Jonah chapter 1 this morning. We're going to look at parts of that chapter. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went abroad and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone down below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he'll take notice of us so that we won't perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And this terrified them. And they asked, "What have you done?" They knew that he was running away from the Lord, because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and they threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. As we start this teaching series, I'm aware that not all Christians necessarily believe that this story actually took place. And I'm not going to get into that debate this morning. I hold it to be so. And part of my reasoning is this: if God could bring Jesus back from the dead after 3 days, why might he not be able to keep a man alive in the belly of a fish for 3 days as well? So that's all I'm going to say on that. I'm going to put that out of the way, and we're going to look at what this story might be saying to us today. Who was Jonah? He was a Galilean prophet to Jeroboam II. And Jeroboam, even, who was a ruler of Israel between 786 and 746 BC. Jonah was born in a city called Gath-Hepher, which was about 15 miles west of the Sea of Galilee, and his dad was called Amittai. But apart from that, we really don't know very much about his family. Being a prophet in the Old Testament was never a very easy job. But when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, God was asking Jonah to carry out a particularly difficult and dangerous task, because Nineveh was a large and an important city on the east bank of the Tigris River, or Tigris River. Today we would locate it near Mosul, about 550 miles northwest of Jerusalem and about 220 miles north of Baghdad. For those of us that know that part of the world, it gives us a little bit of an idea as to where we might push our pin to locate it. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, and Assyria was Israel's worst enemy. The Assyrians were powerful, they were a well-developed civilization, and they were well known for their brutal and grisly treatment of their enemies. So going to talk to Nineveh about God was an extremely dangerous task. It required a huge amount of courage. Nineveh wasn't a very nice city. God wasn't calling Jonah to do anything very safe, and nor was it very glamorous. Eugene Peterson says this about Nineveh. He says, Nineveh was an ancient site with layer after layer of ruined and unhappy history. Going to Nineveh was not a coveted assignment for a Hebrew prophet with good references. God was asking Jonah to take on a difficult and a dangerous task. And I guess that Jonah was probably a little bit afraid. He was probably a little bit like all of us when we have to face something that is difficult or challenging. We look to see if there's an easy option, and we're far more inclined to take the safer rather than the difficult or the dangerous route. I wonder how many of us are like Jonah, choosing safety over risk, giving in to fear rather than depending on God to give us courage to face something that is difficult or challenging. A little bit later on in Jonah's story, we're going to cover a bit more of the real reason why Jonah struggled going to Nineveh. I just want to pick up on some of it here. Because you see, God was asking Jonah to go to Nineveh to bring about revival. And the rub was that God was asking Jonah to go and do it there, when back at home in Israel, it wasn't happening. Prophets were evangelists who called people to repent and called people to turn to God. And in his spirit, Jonah just had a sense of what God was probably going to do. Because he was asking him to go to Nineveh, they would probably become a changed people. Revival would break out within this really rather unpleasant place. And he didn't want those people over there to receive something that he believed was exclusive to the people of God. And so Jonah was a conflicted man. He wanted to be successful in his ministry, but he didn't want it on the terms that God was laying out before him. It was a traumatic and quite an incomprehensible situation for him to be in. And basically, he said, I don't want to be part of it. When Jonah preached repentance to his own people in Israel, they hardened their hearts against God. So why should these Gentiles be given the opportunity his own people were rejecting? And what would happen to Jonah if revival broke out there when he came back home? His respect and his standing within his own group of people was really at stake. There was something about Jonah that was morally opposed to what God was asking him to do. It's not right and it's not fair. And so it's not surprising that Jonah wanted to run away. And I wonder how many of us from time to time has faced that kind of internal conflict that makes us want to run away from what God is asking us to do. I wonder whether we've ever found ourselves in moral opposition to God. Forgive that person? I think not. Support that person when they're in that situation because? Apologise to them after what they did to me? I wonder whether any of us have been in a place where we have felt morally opposed to what God is asking us to do. Jesus draws out this kind of response when he talks about the story of the prodigal son and his older brother. And many of us will have that kind of older brother spirit lurking within us. It's not fair. Or that Jonah spirit that says, no, not them. Sometimes we don't take a 2,500-mile journey to run away the way Jonah did. But many of us know that opposition that rails within our spirit and within our heart. Jonah started on a long journey. He started to run away to a city called Tarshish. And that, if we want to locate it, would be in present-day Spain. It was quite a long way. Eugene Peterson also comments on what Tarshish was like and the reputation that Tarshish had. He says Tarshish was something else to Nineveh. Tarshish was exotic. Tarshish was adventure. Tarshish was far off and sometimes an idealized port. Jonah headed towards the place that he thought he would find a rewarding life. He went to a place where he thought life would be exciting and would be good. He went to a place where he thought he would be safe. Nothing like Nineveh, which is what God wanted him to do. And I wonder whether we also are tempted to run to a Tarshish kind of place rather than face Nineveh. I wonder whether sometimes we run away from what God might be asking us to do because it's not really what we want to do. It's not an exciting thought. It's not stimulating enough. It doesn't seem dramatic or big enough or significant enough. Maybe God's asking us to do something very simple and straightforward, very mundane, very behind the scenes, very supportive of others rather than being in the limelight. Liz used a lovely phrase in the prayers that she led over communion. Maybe we're looking for something that makes us look good instead of choosing obedient listening to what God would have us do. So in Jonah's story this morning, we've got something of fear. We've got something of that moral opposition to what God was asking him to do, and something of the lure of a personal pleasure and glory place to go to. But we've sung this morning about God. The whole of our worship this morning was about how God is good all the time. How God pursues us. How God doesn't want to let us go. How God keeps drawing us back to him. And in this story of Jonah, who said, I think not, to Nineveh, and said, Tarshish, here I come. We find the goodness of God chasing after Jonah. And so whether this morning we're running away from God or whether we're running towards God, we can be sure of one thing. God is already chasing after us with his love. And sometimes he will do dramatic things to draw us back to him, although I haven't come across too many people that have been drawn back to him by being swallowed by a giant fish. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, "Where could I go to escape from your spirit or from your sight? If I were to climb up to the highest heavens, you would be there. If I were to dig down to the world of the dead, you would also be there. Suppose I had wings like the dawning day and flew across the ocean. Even then, your powerful arm would guide and protect me. Or suppose I said, I'll hide in the dark until night comes to cover me over. But you see in the dark, because daylight and dark are the same to you." The psalmist in his life knew those words to be true, and Jonah found those words to be true in the belly of a big fish. He discovered that there is nowhere beyond the reach of God. And this morning, no matter where we are, we can also discover that too. This morning we might feel like Jonah, conflicted. You sense he's speaking, but you're struggling to follow the path that God's that God's asking you to take. Struggling to do what God is asking you to do. Struggling to be the person that God is asking you to be. The path might seem risky, it might seem unappealing, and it might be that it just doesn't seem right. I don't want to be humble. And I don't see why I should. When we are faced with a Nineveh call, Tarshish often can feel incredibly attractive. When God calls us to something difficult, we look for the easy route. And sometimes we look for the way that is heading in the opposite direction. And I wonder, what kind of Tarshish temptation is ours in the present day? It might be that we're keeping ourselves so busy we don't have to face insecurities and vulnerabilities and things that God is asking for us to bring before him. Our Tarshish might be that we have got to remain in control of our lives. We are so afraid to hand our lives and our future into the unknown and into the arms of God. Our Tarshish might be making sure that we're so distracted and entertained by immediate pleasures and cares in life that we don't need to face those Nineveh places within us, those places of broken dreams, those places of disappointment, and those places of sadness. I wonder how many of us are running away from a Nineveh that's described as layer after layer of ruined and unhappy history. And in our fear and in our concern, we're heading towards Tarshish, this far-off and idealized life, which avoids dealing with reality of who we are and what it is how we're living today. God called Jonah, and Jonah ran away. And it's very easy for us to identify with Jonah and for us to go, phew, at least there's somebody in the Bible that did what I did. But we're not called to model our lives on Jonah. We're called to model our lives on Jesus. Like Jonah, Jesus was given a difficult task to do. He was called to challenging people. He was called to suffer a message of hope and repentance and restoration and healing and transformation to people, and not all of them were very welcoming to that message. Not all of them wanted to hear, but Jesus didn't run away, not even when his journey took him to the cross. It's on the cross that our broken lives were put onto him. And it's here at the cross that we find salvation, forgiveness, repentance, restoration, healing, and transformation. We find the courage to become the people that God is calling us to be and to live the lives in community with the people that he's calling us to share our lives with. And so this morning, I want to ask you, are you running to Tarshish? And if you're running to Tarshish, what is it that you're looking for there? And more importantly, what is it that you're running from that Nineveh calls and beckons you to? God wants to work within us. God wants to change us. God wants us to know the fullness of his love. I loved that bungee video that we started with. I have to say, like Liz, my stomach was doing flips. I've always said I would never, ever do a bungee jump. But personally, and I'm not going to tell you the story today, personally, that idea of running on a piece of until the elastic won't stretch anymore and being pulled back into the arms of Jesus is one of the reasons why I'm standing here today. It was an incredibly powerful image for me personally. And I wonder how many of us are pulling that piece of elastic as far as we can stretch it, testing God, running from God, seeing where it will take us. And we just need to let go and let that elastic ping us back to him. As we were worshipping earlier on this morning and we were singing the words, what can I give, what can I bring, I had a picture, and I trust it's from God. It was a picture of a candle. It was quite a tall candle. And immediately I saw a second candle, and it was really teeny tiny. It was almost burnt down. And I wondered whether there are people here that at one point in their life started full on for God. And they've made mistakes. You've made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And you think that it's too late. The candle was little, but it wasn't finished. And what was really important was the flame wasn't blown out. And if you have been running, and you are still running, and you want God to draw you back, but you are frightened, or you don't think it is going to be significant enough, God wouldn't do it for you, if there is anything that is stopping you, can I encourage you to claim that picture and let us pray for you today? The one thing I loved in that bungee jump video was the sense of freedom as people hit that water and came back out. The looks on their faces, they were on the upward journey, they've survived the fall. Nineveh wasn't an easy place to go, but when we go to the places that God wants us to go, there is a freedom that we will never find when we pursue our journey towards Tarshish. So I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads, and I wonder whether we want to respond to God. If you're running towards Tarshish and you know God is calling you in a different direction, I just want to ask you to put up your hand as a way of saying, sorry, God, help me turn round. You sense that God is calling you to Nineveh and you're resisting his call, I want to encourage you to raise your hand and say, sorry, God, this morning I want to respond to you. And if you sense that that picture of that candle, once tall but now almost burned out, is a picture of how you feel before God, I would encourage you to claim that. And again, just raise your hand so that we can pray with you. Lord, sometimes we find it difficult to respond in a visible way. And Lord, as we've sat for a few moments in your presence, there's been no outward sign of your Spirit at work, but I don't believe that that's true. And Father, if there have been things that have been too hard for us to publicly acknowledge, but we want to respond, Father, would you give each one of us courage to speak at the end of the service to somebody we know and somebody that we trust, so that we can bring these things to you in prayer. Father, I pray that when you call us to go to Nineveh, whether Nineveh for us is a physical place or whether it is a place within our hearts and minds, I pray that we will have the courage to be responding to your call obediently. Father, if you reveal to us we're running to Tarshish, Lord, I pray that we won't feel ashamed, but we will just remember the words that we've sung about your love never giving up and never failing. Father, this day, might we stand on those promises, and might we live out our lives in the strength and the understanding and the reality of those promises. Amen.